All right. And my name is Jeff Chavez, for those of you who don't know me, and I'm blessed you're here. I'm going to give you a few announcements, then we're going to pray over the offering this morning and get into the word. Amen? Amen. So these are in your bulletin, but right after this service this morning, any of you men who are able to stick around for just a real quick meeting, next Sunday, February 10th, after service, we're doing a Valentine's Day potluck. You are all welcome. We're just hijacking Valentine's Day and making it about the Father's love. And so we're going to honor women and honor family and honor being together. And so that's next Sunday, right after our 10:30 service. There's a sign-up sheet in the foyer there. Just let us know if you're able to join us and what you might be bringing, because we just want to have an incredible time and make sure that we're all fellowshipping and eating. But right after this service, for you men that are available for a quick meeting, we're going to meet in the fireside room and just talk about planning and organizing and making sure that day gets pulled off with praise and joy. So that'll be right after service. Also, the donation needs in the bulletin for the valley, we're looking for coats, men's clothing, gently used garments and stuff. So if you have any of that, if you feel like maybe you want to do spring cleaning a little earlier and come and participate in that, you can see Deanna, call the office, find out about that. Also, the Northwest Women's Conference in Post Falls coming up. Some of you are familiar with this conference. The details are March 8th and 9th. And again, we'll have more information for you as we get going. We're going to pray for Granite Lake Church this morning, as well as, our missionaries, Steve and Tammy Barkey with the WSU Chi Alpha. And then we'll have a testimony, and I'm expecting some exciting news. But I want you to think about this as we pray for the tithe and offering. There's a story in the Bible, Acts chapter 10, where Peter goes to a Gentile. His name is Cornelius. And Peter says this to that Cornelius and his house. Now, Cornelius is a Gentile, and you know, it wasn't customary yet for Jews to minister to Gentiles or Gentiles to even receive salvation and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But there's a beautiful picture here that I want to just put before you as you consider your tithe and offering, whether you give this week or in the coming weeks. But Peter makes a statement to Cornelius and his house, is that the Lord has heard your prayer and he has seen your offering. Peter made the significance of Cornelius's prayer equal to the significance of his offering. That Cornelius in his heart had determined, I'm going to pray to the Lord, but I'm also going to make an offering unto the Lord. Now, he's not a born-again believer. He's a Gentile looking for the truth and has heard of Jesus Christ and therefore has summoned Peter, who was a disciple, now an apostle of Jesus, a living testimony, someone who walked with Jesus, to come and share the word of the Lord with him. And then if you're familiar with the story, the Holy Spirit gets poured out. He fills the house of Cornelius. They get baptized, and the ushering in of the Gentiles begins. It's what Jesus always intended. It's what God always intended. But there's this moment right there where Peter gives us this glimpse of how God sees and honors his word and works in the life of those seeking to believe, those seeking to know more, is that when we bring our prayer life into agreement, our faith into agreement with where our money goes and how we see money, something happens. And I just want to encourage you this morning, as you give, that you would recognize that the Lord is honored and blessed, not because he needs our money, but because there's something going on in our heart that says, Lord, I'm not attached to this, but I'm willing to give it faithfully. I'm willing to sow and believe the gospel. The message is for the ends of the earth. But some of you are givers, and I just want to encourage you, the Lord is also seeing the prayer life. He's also calling us out into more prayer. The word of the Lord this morning, again, he loves us. There is change coming. There is this move of the Spirit that we're discerning and we're recognizing. And as we take our offering and pray for it, I just want you to see that picture in Scripture, that there's this relationship between our prayer life and our giving life. Whether it's finances, whether it's time, whether it's talents, the Lord sees how we give. And so this morning, if we could just take a moment, and can we just stand one more time and just posture ourselves before the Lord as we just bow our hearts and pray. Thank you, Father. Father, we stand before you knowing that you've called us to go, that you've set a destination before us, and it is glorious, it is unknown, it is somewhat intimidating, but at the end of the day, Lord, we want to be men and women, sons and daughters who obey the call to go. And so we bring our prayer life and our giving life into agreement. We say those things that we're praying for, Lord, let us also back them up with, Lord, the willingness to give of our time, to give of our resources, to give of our talents. And Father, those places that we're giving, the places that we feel called to give, Father, we bring our prayer life up to a standard that's going to move heaven on earth. And so we thank you, Holy Spirit, for tying these things together in our life in such a way that we see the significance and the result that we find in Scripture and the result we want to see in our life is an outpouring of love and grace, an outpouring of transformation and power. And so we bless you, Lord, this morning, and we thank you for doing a work in us so that, Lord, a great work can be done through us in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the missionaries that have stood like we're standing today saying, Lord, send us, and they went. We thank you for the WSU Chi Alpha team and the people they're reaching in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for Granite Lake and Bill Haynes and that whole ministry called to our valley. Lord, we thank you that as they raise their prayers up, Lord, their giving would also come up. As they give, Lord, they would believe for more in their prayer life. And so we bless them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Why don't you take a seat? The ushers are going to come around, pass out the offering basket. Would you welcome Michelle this morning? Come on up, Michelle. And ushers, you're free to send those offering baskets around this morning. This is Michelle Chapman. Many of you have heard her share her conviction and her desire for things like family promise and what God's doing in her life as a firecracker, sparkler leader. There we go. She was up last week, if you weren't here, sharing about zealots and how zealots ministered to her. But why don't you give her some attention and listen to the testimony she has this morning.
It's not actually my testimony, but I would like to introduce Nieves. It is her testimony. Come on up, Nieves. I was asked to... I was asked to interview her last... couple weeks ago. I will let her tell her story, but a couple of weeks ago, she was prayed for. She had some problems, which I'll let her testify to. And a couple of weeks went by, and then all of a sudden, I get this email sent to me saying, yay, I'm feeling so much better. And so when I came and I saw her, we were doing a little hooping and hollering and yelling and praising God and here at the church. And apparently we were quite loud. That's cool. That's cool. And anyway, so it was just an awesome testimony. And so I want Nieves to give the testimony. But before I ask some questions of hers, I would like to say a couple of things about, she's been a dear friend to me, but at times I have forgotten to listen and to ask of her story. And once I decided and learned that we need to really listen to people's stories, it was a way of learning of how to pray differently for them, to ask them questions, to get to the deeper root of a problem so that God can heal. And so I just would like to remind all of our loving family here that even though you're close to someone, sometimes we need to step back and take a moment and say, what is your story? Really listen to what they have to say. But right now, Nieves, would you like to tell your story?
Oh, yeah.
You'll see, it really wasn't me loud. It was her, but that's okay. Oh, here comes the tears. Yay, praise God.
This story is 21 years old. I am struggling with back pain. And my doctor, my therapist says, maybe in 2 years you can walk. And I struggle. I forget everything about my God. I forget everything about my Jesus. I just listen the word saying me. I stop. And I have almost more in these 21 years, almost more than 100 nightmares, and I can't walk. I be attacked in my nights, I be attacked in the days, I be attacked in my work. Every day I wake up sad, grumpy, very, very grumpy, and I don't want to understand nothing because I believe in what say my doctor says and my therapist. And I have, in these 21 years, I studied 3 times because he said to me, you have to change your career. My first career is music, and I choir conductor, and I prepare people on the stage with dancer. My first accident was dancer with my people on the stage. I jump. It was awful, but I continue. I change. I give up. I quit in the government. I work the government, Bellas Artes. I give up. Quick, I don't know what in my life, and I multitask. I need to do something now. And I became in chief. Worst, the worst. Because you, in theory, you were 8 hours, but in the real life, for 14 or 15 hours working. And you go to your home, and you have to prepare another menu. You have to call. It's all day working. And in this change, my doctor say again, this is your best, the worst work you are doing now. Okay, this is the worst. What I doing now? I became a wedding planner international. Because, okay, I realized in a desk sitting, I'm establishing myself. I hear me myself. Because I forget who is powerful is my God. I forget who is he in me. October and November, the last day, 2008, I say, God, I want to die. It's too much pain. I want to die. I can't give up. I can't stand up and go to my bathroom. I can't. Too much pain. And I say, no, let me rephrase that. I don't want to die. I want you to heal me. I want you to heal me. And here in December, we have a bulletin board. And then one day say, God is your healer. Okay, checklist. I look at my Bible. I say, yes, God is my healer. I have the power. And then I have a dream and said to me, you have my power, you have the power, please take it again. Okay, so it's for me, it was amazing. I wake up, I take my Bible, I study my Bible every in the morning, and I pray and say, okay, I need pray now. I need a spirit to become to me because he gave me his spirit too. Oh my goodness, checklist too. Woohoo, I'm winner. Okay. He don't abandon me. I'm his child. And I pray and I say, God, what do you want? I say. He said, just say thank you. And all day, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And John, I can't do it, Dad. And I say that, thank you, Jesus, thank you. And then here in January, I say, Michelle, I think I go about again with my trouble. And she said, you want me pray for you? I for me is, oh my goodness, you want ice cream? Wow, yes, I want ice cream. I want you pray for me. And then she said, you want, I can toss you your, wow, ice cream, most ice cream, more ice cream, most chocolate. Woohoo! Please do it. She toss me. And I feel fire. Praise the Lord. And I, another checklist, I have a friend here in this church. And I say, one of my prayers in my home, Jesus, I need you to heal me. And I need that the testimony in this my church. Because this church, I was baptized in September in a huge water. Yoo-hoo! Woohoo, yeah, I was baptized here, yoo-hoo. And I said, this is my church, this is my people here. I have great, great, great people here. And I need that gift, the testimony in my church. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I forget you are my Jesus. Forgive me. Because you, when I step back, you go with me. When I go on, you go with me. I ever, always in your presence. Now, I don't scare for go up, stair or down. I can jump again.
Praise God.
21 years scared. 21 years, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that because if it's possible, you can walk again. Don't do that. And I multitask, and I became in task. And I say, okay, I like my body. Yes, I like my body. I don't want no more or less. And I'm perfect. My body is, yes, it's perfect. Even in my 20 years, I have a six-pack. Now I am like Michelin, but whatever. I like my body. I like my body. And this, and I make a checklist. I can say, Abba Father, he's my healer. He said to me, you are my friend. Oh my goodness. I give you my spirit for checklist. And then this friend, this our friend, walk in the water. Woohoo! Who? Who? Who here? Jesus. This friend say, demons, go out. And demons, go out. This is my friend. This is my friend. Don't forget, this is my friend.
Wait. Okay. Stay here. Don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. Come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. Come
here. I'm here.
We just got hijacked today.
Yes. I'm getting older. Oh, my goodness.
Okay, now it's not your back. Now you got to get your cardio going again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
We need to hear this testimony, yes. Right? Jesus loves us. If you have been suffering from pain for a long time, stand to your feet. Just stand up. Just stand up. Or just come forward or do something.
Please.
Come on, move.
Please, move.
Do something. Have action.
Move.
We just
move.
Talked about it. Come forward. Come on. 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 Just come on down. Nathan is going to pray for you. He's going to pray. You know what? She just really just preached my sermon. Come on, come on, come on.
Preached your sermon.
Come
that
on.
Is so awesome.
Come on, why not? Why not? Why can't it be today? Why can't it be today? And you know what? I know this much. If we don't do anything, nothing will happen. That's going to be an obvious. So if we just sit here and go, that's how it is, nothing will happen. And it doesn't have to be back pain. It could be knee pain. It could be migraines. Yes. It could be some of you guys suffer from migraines. I mean, something where it's just constant pain. It might be that you go, man, I'm getting older, and it's just how it is. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I believe that Jesus can do something amazing no matter how old you are. So for the rest of you, would you please stand with me? Would you please stand in faith? Just stand with us for a moment. And if you're here today and you say, Mike, I'm not sure all about this, well, just kind of go on the journey, right? Just kind of go on the journey with us. Let's see where it goes, right? Let's just see where it leads. But as Davis was talking, man, my heart was just almost about to explode with joy of the revelation of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
That we can say, yeah, I acknowledge intellectually you're my healer, but she knows he's her healer, not through theology, but through an experience.
Yes.
Wow, feel his presence right now. Just feel it. Feel his presence right now. He loves you. He loves you. And all we're going to do today, this morning, is Navis is going to pray for us. We're just going to receive from a Father who loves us. That's all we're doing. All we're going to do is receive from a Father who loves us. And we're going to believe. We're just going to believe today. So, Navis, I'm going to give you this microphone.
Hi, Jesus.
Or I'll hold the microphone. Oh, Jesus. Okay. Even if you pray in Spanish, Jesus understands Spanish.
I know that.
I think he's actually Spanish.
My Bible is in Spanish.
Yes,
I know that.
Yeah. I wonder if he's actually Spanish. No, he's Jewish, but I think he's Spanish too.
Okay.
So if you feel more comfortable praying for us in Spanish, go for it. Just go for it. But would you just receive, family, just receive. Even if you didn't come forward, and it might be a long-term family relationship, or it might be something where you're just struggling with depression or discouragement. It doesn't matter. Our Father loves us. So, Navis, would you pray for us?
Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Aquí y ahora, hay una sola presencia.
Your presence.
Hay un solo poder, y es Dios, omnisciente, omnipotente y omnipresente. Aquí y ahora se manifiesta el poder de Dios. Aquí y ahora está Jesús con nosotros. Aquí y ahora se manifiesta el poder de Jesús en nosotros. Aquí y ahora respiramos profundo y en paz. Aquí y ahora Jesús nos está sanando. Aquí y ahora solo existe la luz y el poder de Jesús. Aquí y ahora estamos en la presencia de Jesús. Aquí y ahora. Aquí y ahora Jesús con nosotros. Amén.
Amén. Amén. Amén.
So I have 21 in pain. Oh my goodness, oh my life.
Wow.
My life.
Father, we bless. We bless Navis, Lord. And Lord, what was taken for 21 years, Father, we pray for more than restoration, but you, Father, have given her back life and life abundantly in Jesus' name. And Lord, she's a fire plug. She is someone that our valley needs to say, look, look at her burn. Look at what God has done in her life. Look at the testimony of Jesus Christ in her life. It's just who she is, and it's who you are in her. And we bless her. We thank you for her willingness to share her testimony with us. And Lord, we thank you for the prayer that we know you're answering today in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen.
Amen.
Come on, love somebody real quick. We need to start a dance troupe. We do.
No problem.
No problem.
She's ready to go.
That's fantastic. Hi, Dean.
Hey, Mike. How you doing, bud?
Good, buddy. Give me a hug.
Good to see you.
Give me a hug.
What's her name?
Navis.
Navis.
Yeah. On or off? Off or on? On? Okay. Hey, let's be real quick, okay? Man, all morning long, it's been everything I'm going to share. So I'm going to do this. I'm just going to say amen to what the Father's doing already. Hey, I want to honor Pastor Jeff. Last week's message, just like, he knocked it out of the park last week. It was just awesome. And what a gift to our family, right? What a gift that we are becoming one family with multiple expressions. All of you are a gift to us. It's multiple expressions. It's not one, two people. It's everybody just knocking out of the park for Jesus. It's beautiful. And so if you remember last week out of Luke 5, he talked about, let's be willing to launch. Remember when Peter got the boat and Jesus jumped in the boat? And remember, and even though he'd been fishing all night, he still had to go out. He had to launch, and Jesus taught. And then he talked about learning to trust, where Jesus said, put down your nets. Well, you don't catch fish in the shallow, and you don't do it in the daytime. And Jesus was not a fisherman. He was a carpenter preacher. But he trusted that Jesus took him at his word, and there was this internal and external pressure. One, I know what I'm doing. He doesn't. And then what will people say if they see us? I mean, this is a lot. That's this pressure. And then he said, get help. Fish started coming. He called all of his partners together. Remember, dear ones, this is not us. This is us. This is us. We need everybody. We need everybody because it's not just how we can fill a building. It's how we can change the region. Yes. It's how this culture can change. It's how the community can change. So it's all of us. So ministry is not just what happens on a Sunday morning from a certain period of time. It's every day of our life how we can be people that love our community well. Someone say yeah to that. And then the last one was this, new callings, that some of you are, God is doing new things in your life. You're not only fishermen, now you're fishers of men. So your calling might be a school teacher, your calling might be you're retired, or your calling might be you work in government, or your calling might be, that's your calling. But the real calling is, in that calling, God has brought you people that he wants you to love. So you're not just doing a job, your job is just getting you to people that you can love, right? That's where we're going. That's where we're heading. It's so that church is going to be different. This gathering is going to be, it's an important part of it, but it's not everything. So, am I excited? Do I feel excited? Yeah. Shabbat. I'm excited. I am. And so Pastor Jeff shared that last week, and it was beautiful. And this morning, I'm going to invite you to engage with me. I'm going to try to do this in 20 minutes. So I'm watching a clock. I'm going to try to be quick but intentional, okay? So, Darren, if you could put the scriptures up on the board. Normally, I just have you read it, but this morning I want a common voice. I want us all to engage. We're talking about let's go, and my teach tonight is about let's go and being present in love, okay? So let's go. So would you join with me? Oh, that was last week. You have this morning's John 13, what I emailed you yesterday, 1 minute. Dude, now I only got 19 minutes. Oh, here we go. Would you read it out loud with me, everybody? A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if... Next verse, if you would. Next slide. John, I think it's 15. John, here it is, everybody. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Next, I think is verse 17. Everybody read this. This is my command, love each other. Next verse, I think it's 1 John 4, 7 and 8. My command, oh, that's verse 12. That's John 15, 12. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one. Okay, dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Sorry. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God because God is love. Okay. I could have gone through scripture after scripture after scripture throughout the whole New Testament because there's this one theme that is all throughout the New Testament, and it's to love each other. Okay? So our last verse that I want to read is Galatians chapter 5. Verse 6, and that's where we're going to pause for just a moment. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Everyone, would you read with me? For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Whew. The New Testament is a way in which we learn how to obey the command. As we're being loved, love each other. The whole of New Testament, yeah, there's theology, yeah, there's history, yeah, there's great teachings, there's great all this stuff on holiness and purity and all this stuff. But the bottom line is the New Testament gives us practical application on how to obey the command of Jesus to love each other. When Paul wrote this, circumcision or uncircumcision doesn't matter. In the Jewish faith, if you're a male 8 days old, the identifying mark that you are part of the chosen people, the nation of Israel, is that you would be circumcised on the 8th day. That would indicate that you were God's chosen people. And Paul is saying now, that doesn't matter anymore. That's not what it's about. Because Jesus made a new command and he gave a new covenant. He said of the night he died, he gave us this command, love each other. And then he says, this is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. So whenever you have a new command, you got to have a new covenant. So when God gave the command to Abraham to be chosen from everybody else, there had to be shedding of blood. That what was circumcision was. And what that did was, it was identifying mark. Now, dear ones, the identifying mark that we are chosen of God and we are his people is this one thing, the way we love. How do we love? Now, instead of religious activity, now instead of obeying a bunch of rules that we all agree on, now, the only thing that matters is a faith in God that is expressed through love. And so Paul says, this is unbelievable. It's so dynamic. It's outstanding, this commandment, where he says, faith, trust, assurance, confidence, persuasion, belief, that is expressed through love. Now, it's interesting. This word expressed, in other translations, it carries the word of working. And here's what it means. So faith, working through love. Here's what it means. It means working the situation which brings us from one stage or one point to the next. That our faith, when we are connected to God, our faith is going to look like something. Our faith is going to have definite evidence of who and what we believe in. What is that? It's love. So I brought this old lamp, okay? I don't even know if it works. So we're going on an adventure together, okay? This lamp is plugged into a source, okay? This lamp has a source of electricity that runs through this cable, comes up through, and then it connects here, and the evidence of the source is that this light should come on, okay? If this light doesn't come on, we got to go back to the source. Is there electricity flowing? Does the light bulb work? Or is there something wrong with the connection? So when Paul says the only thing that matters is faith expressing itself in love, it means this. Our faith in God should have a conduit running to our lives that now we become a light that looks like love. So as I turn, here we go. Ugh, why am I nervous? It's just a light bulb. Oh, thought you got 3 different settings. Okay, so this is what Paul is talking about in Galatians chapter 5, that the source of electricity is evident by the light. If this didn't come on, what we would have to look at is the wiring. Is the wiring connected? Are there any points that break? Any points where the wiring isn't functional right that keeps the source from flowing to the expression of light? So when we are connected to God and it flows through us, what happens that takes place all the time is that our connection with God is evidenced by the way in which we love people. Now, like you, I've got a problem with it at times because I love God. I really do. But sometimes my wiring's faulty. You throw it away. No, I'm joking. Get a new light. That's what we're going to talk about. What keeps us from actually literally following the scripture that we have the God of all love, the source of love, saying, I can love through you like you've never known before. What keeps us from actually shining the light of love of Jesus? And here's what I found in my life and most people I've talked to, over 95% of the people, it's fear. And usually the people I've talked with in my life, it's pain that it's happened that's not been dealt with, which causes fear in my current situation. Let me give you an example. This week we went to hear Bob Goff He was here on Wednesday night. Bob Goff wrote two books, one called Love Does, and the second book is called Everybody Always, and here's what the title means. Becoming love in a world full of setbacks and difficult people. Becoming love in the midst of difficult people. And I started thinking about that, and I realized too often I think of difficult people as other people. And then I realized this, that's me. Do you know that all of us are difficult people at times? Do you realize how difficult you are? Right? I have a tremendous gift. I don't know where I got this gift, but it's just an amazing gift that I'm a difficult person. My wife, I think, would disagree with that, Adeb. I have this gift that if somebody just had shoulder surgery and I didn't know it, I have this gift of finding that shoulder and patting them on that shoulder. I got a 50-50 chance, but I always hit the shoulder pop. I have that gift. I'm a difficult person. Oh, it's more than that. I have a gift. I think I'm kind of funny. And so one of the things I do in my humor is if I know someone who is a friend, I'll call them by the wrong name on purpose. And I think it's kind of funny. Like my friend Barry Sappington. We've been friends for over 30 years. I say, hey, how's my good friend Larry Sappingstein? Love you, buddy. Right? I think it's pretty, well, it's not funny. Okay. I think it's funny. Okay. Happened to me this week. Couple in our church, saw them. Hi. And I called them by the wrong name. And I called the husband, and I called the wife. And the wife said to me, you do realize that that's the name of my husband's ex-girlfriend, right? And it wasn't like Mary or Elizabeth or Susan. It wasn't that at all. It was some weird name, and I nailed it, right? Nailed it. I do that all the time. I have a tendency, put the foot right there, and just, I'm a really gift on that. I do. I'm really excellent at that, okay? But what I also discovered, 2 years ago, I think it'll be safe to tell the story. Hope Chapel, their first Sunday night here. See, Jeff knows. First Sunday night here. And how can I help? I just want to help. I want to be here. And so I'm up here helping. And one of the people who play the instruments could not get their headphones to work. They couldn't hear. And so how can I help? How can I help? And it was just taking time. And so I jokingly said to this person, you know what? You're a difficult person. Do I need to take you in the back room and have a talk? Not realizing that a pastor pulled her into a back room and have her leave the church. It's a gift I have, my friends. You're welcome. You might want to avoid me, right? I don't know how I do this. I have no idea. But often, what I have discovered is, how do we stay in love? How do we stay in love when we are triggered? How do we stay in love where something happens and we feel, now we're not present in the moment, but we are now bringing all these issues, our issues of pain, our issues that have been resolved, and we bring it into this moment so that we're not present in the moment, but we're present with all these past hurts that this moment has triggered. We're sitting with a pastor this week, pastor's meeting, Pastor Jeff and I, and one of the pastors tells a story of his dad was in World War II, and how his dad, because of the horrors and the experiences of World War II, he had a bias and a hatred toward people of Asian descent, Japanese. His best friend was of Asian descent, Korean Chinese. And his father wanted nothing to do with him. His father didn't want to talk to him, wanted to get to know him, wanted nothing to do with him. Why? Because of the hurts of the past, he wanted nothing to do with the present. No idea who this guy was, didn't know his story, didn't know anything about him. This man who was telling the story said, this guy was my best man in my wedding. He was that close of a friend. And the father for years wanted nothing to do with him. Why? Because the love of God that is for everybody was choked out because the wiring wasn't fixed because of hurt and fear. And so instead of being present in love, instead of being present with this man, he brought in his pain, and now this man was not loved by him because. My friend Barry and I, again, we went to Southern California, and we were this zealots training. I'm going to tell you guys, it's not an infomercial. I am this zealot stuff, this zealous training, this discipleship, I am all in because it's transformed my life. I'm a big fan of this, and I would love for everybody to get a chance to go through it. If you want, you can. It's just, anyways, moving on. So we're for some training, and we pull up, and this guy pulls in behind us. He was coming in for the training, and I said, "Hi, I'm Mike," and "Hi, I'm Barry." And man, the temperature dropped 50 degrees with this guy. Man, he was cold. And he moved on and went into the house. And I look at Barry, I go, "Did we steal his parking spot? What happened?" Right? Well, we spent 4 days together being present. And what we understood is that this pastor who was this missionary in Pakistan had been hurt by pastors over and over again. So when he came, here's what God does. When he came into the group, it was a group full of pastors. His worst nightmare. He wasn't present. He didn't know us at all, except that we were pastors. And because we were pastors, we were jerks. He wasn't present with us. Because what pain does and fear does is we're not dealing with the present. We're dealing with the stuff that brings us into the now that's unresolved and not healed yet. The cool thing is, he is a good friend now. We spent 4 days, we were present with each other. We heard the story. We understood. We communicated. We asked for forgiveness for pastors who hurt him. We did all this stuff, and now we text all the time. We call, he lives in another state. We call, we saw each other in November. We gave each other hugs. "Man, how are you doing? Why?" Now we can be present because the hurt of the past was dealt with, and now we can love in the present. So we can talk all we want about loving people, right? But there are challenges that we face for loving the present. What if someone's got a different political view than you? Can you love them? What if someone really wants all the immigrants to come in all the time? Can you still love them? Whoa, hold on, Mike. Now we're getting... No. We are called to love. It's messy. It's difficult. It's challenging. We don't always know what to do, but it also exposes our pain and our fear so that we are staying present in the moment and not just, I was raised, these are just stories. We're going somewhere next week. We're going to continue to unpack this. I was raised to be a racist. That was just, I was born in the 60s. I was raised to be a racist. And also I was raised that if you had a same-sex attraction, man, I would mock you and make fun of you. Now, I wouldn't do it to you, but I would do it around you. So what does God do in my life? He brings me to a church where one of my good friends is an African-American homosexual. He does. So my upbringing now is being confronted. The only thing that matters is my faith in God that is expressed. It gets me from this point to this point. It's love. Can my faith in God, can he heal me? Can he fix my wiring? Can he fix that so that my upbringing, my experiences, my pain, now I can stay present with a person who I was raised to make fun of? Thank God he healed me, and this guy became a friend, came to find Christ, and it was not because I told him how evil he was, because of love. I have talked to people who won't come into a church because they went one time. They went one time, and they were hurt. And now all churches are bad. All Christians are evil. Not true. Over and over, right? Over and over and over again, dear ones. When Paul says all that matters is faith expressing itself through love, it means that no matter how uncomfortable the situation, we can stay present in love, even if they don't agree with us, even if they don't believe the same thing we believe, even if it is totally opposite of how we are, it doesn't matter. My faith in God has got to look like something. And what it looks like is love. Love that tells the truth. Love that's willing to be present even if... Dear friends. Listen, our Father didn't shout from heaven, "I love you, mean it. You're awesome. Oogie woogie, my little booger boogers. I love you. Now, I'll see you in a few years. Have a good life. He became present. He sent his son to be present with us. I like how the Message Bible reads in John chapter 1, verse 14. You don't have it, Darren. Don't worry about it. The word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Jesus became present. He moved into our neighborhood. Dear ones, when change happens, things can trigger. And we cannot be present in the moment, but we can be bringing our past into the moment. And now we're filtering what's going on now because of things in our past. So your wife says to you, "We get home, we need to talk." right? We haven't resolved stuff back here, and so now we bring it into here. When God wants to heal us, our wiring, maybe we're at 110 and he wants us to flow at a 220. What does he have to do? He has to increase our capacity to let love flow. So what I'm doing now more than anything in my life, and this is what I learned in Zealots, is when I'm uncomfortable or I'm feeling stretched or I'm feeling like I don't like this, it's not the person, it's God. What are you doing in me to fix my wiring? What are you doing in me to increase my wattage so that I really stay in love? And what he's doing right now in me, which is wonderfully awful, is government. I'm going to city council meetings. I'm meeting city officials. I want to run for the hills when it comes to government and politics. It's awful. He has to rewire me so that I can love the very thing that I would rather avoid. Because now, if I don't love, there's no influence. There's no care. There's no, how can we help? And dear ones, God's doing that right now in our church. Because we are not merging churches. We are marrying churches. We're not just going to be two people working in one building. We are two churches. We are becoming married to people. And it's going to make you uncomfortable. It's making me uncomfortable. But does it make me so uncomfortable that I don't love? Now I got to go back to the source is pure God. The light is true. There must be something in my wiring that needs to be fixed. Because that's what Paul's talking about. From one point to the next point. So what does James 5, 6, one of my favorite verses now that's taking place. If you're struggling with issues where something triggers you, something awakens you and you're going, oh, and you find yourself, instead of staying present in the moment, but you find yourself withdrawing in isolation. James 5, 16 says this, confess your sin, where we miss the mark, where we miss it, where we're not getting it. Confess your sin where? To one another. Why? So that you may be healed. I confess my sin to God to be forgiven. I confess my sin to my brothers and sisters that I might be healed. So my confession to you, I was a racist growing up. That's my confession. So what did God do? He rewired me. I hated people who had, literally, I hated people who had same-sex attraction. Ooh, you're. What did God do? He rewired me. He rewired me to be able to love. I can't tell you the many things of the person standing right here is not the same person 20 years ago. He had to rewire me so that the only thing that counts is my faith is expressing itself in love. That's all that matters. Well, next week, we're going to continue to unpack this. Next week, we're going to talk about it. But maybe this morning, I maybe not named you. Maybe you've never been a racist. Maybe you've not struggled with the same things I've struggled. But as I'm talking, you're finding yourself going, wait a sec, I still got some stuff. How do we get well? Confess your faults one to another. Well, I've done that before, and I'll never do it again because they broke a trust. Now we're taking the present and we're bringing our past and saying, I will never do this again because of what happened back here. Man, Mike, I can't go forward. What will people think of me? Now I'm taking my past and I'm not staying in the present. I'm not loving right now. I'm living back here. And dear ones, sometimes we don't even know what that looks like until something is said or someone comes into your life and you go, whew, do I need to take you into a back room and have a conversation with you? Had no idea that she had gone through that. Wow. What was God doing? Healing the wiring. So I'm adding one more gift to the Spirit. My gift is to step on toes. I think that's just a gift I have. So you're welcome again. You're welcome. Thank you. I'm here to make you really feel awkward and uncomfortable. Thank you. I'm the creepy guy. You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you. Bob Goff said these words, and they resonated with me. He says, people don't follow vision. They follow availability. People don't care about a vision. Statement. They don't care about a mission statement. They don't care. What they care about is, are you available? Will you be present with me even when I'm ugly? Will you be present with me even if I don't sound or you don't sound real spiritual? Will you still love me then? Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? Hey, 22 minutes. Oh, that was a victory, I guess. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. It's like, hey, he did it. Whoa, he's getting better. There are going to be many, many opportunities in this next year for you to be offended. There will be many opportunities. We're not going to try it. Well, I have a gift, but it's not intentional. There are going to be many, many opportunities where this is going to be challenged. God is pure. God's source is pure. He's love. We're here. We're the light of the world. Man, this is like, do I look angelic or do I look, I see dead people? You know, what is it? It's the wiring that God is doing so that this shines even brighter in a dark world. I want you to pray for me. I covered your prayers. February 10th, I've been going to city council meetings, and I'm going to address the city council. I want to talk with them. And I've only gone to two meetings, but one thing I have noticed that hasn't taken place yet in a city council meeting is this. No one has stood up. It's limited experience. I get it. Limited experience. But what I've noticed is no one has ever said thank you or honored them. And one of the things I want to do, in all sincerity, is just to honor them and say thank you. Right? 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 Because that's what my God tells me to do to my leaders. And that's what love looks like. We can totally disagree with each other and love each other. We can totally have different views on things, but fully engage and be present. Husband and wives, friends, neighbors, children, parents. Man, you always do that. You never, we'll talk about that next week. We'll talk about some of that stuff next week of how we are hardwired to respond to things which make us uncomfortable. We'll deal with that next week. But dear ones, are we staying present in the moment? Are we here now, or are we last 5 years and brought it to now? Only thing that matters is faith working in love. So this morning, you say, Mike, you hit me on a couple stuff. You kind of make me mad on a few things. It's my gift. What's the Father doing? What's he doing so that you shine as a bright light? And would you close your eyes and bow your heads for just a moment? If you don't know Christ, your personal Savior, that's the beginning step. And if you are here and you say, Mike, I've been raised in church, and boy, or I've been to church before, and man, they're just a bunch of da-da-da-da-da-da. You'll find that, but that's not really how it is. What about the present? What about now? Or you got a situation with a spouse, or you got a child, or you can just fill in the blank. But your heart is like, Mike, I need the Father to rewire some things. And I want him to do that. And one of the ways we do that is just confess it. We confess it. I'm not asking you to talk in front of the whole church. I'm just asking you to identify. Would you just simply join with me? Because I still got some areas. I'm raising my hand on my own call. Where you got some areas where the Father needs to rework some wiring. Would you just lift your hand? And that might be racism. It might be bad experiences with a people group. That might be, Father, the only thing that matters is faith expressing itself through love. That's the identifying mark that we are your followers. We are your chosen people. Faith looks like something. And the whole New Testament was written, in my belief, I see it as a way in which to fulfill the command of Jesus in John 13. It's so practical. It's how do we obey the command to love each other? The whole New Testament shows us from friendships to marital, to children, parents, to work, to church, to brothers and sisters in the faith, to even our enemies. It teaches us how to live out that one commandment. And you say, by this all men will know you're my disciples. So Lord, rewire us. Rework, Lord. If we're operating at 110, increase the capacity to 220. Lord, if there's any breakage where we speak to things and speak about things in an unloving manner, which you've caught me doing, Lord, that you would fix those areas so that when we speak, it's the truth, and that truth is also in love. Lord, I believe our valley, the wonderful people of this valley, are not looking for a vision. They're looking for people who will be available, be present. Every one of us, Lord, have people in our lives that we can be present with. Teach us how to love those who make us uncomfortable, who don't believe the way we believe, see the way we see, but we can stay in love. We bless you and we welcome you to do this great work in Jesus' name. Amen.